Weapon 5, stretch your limits. If you don't stretch, your ceiling becomes your coffin, what we feel. I can't do more. I've done everything I can. This should be working by now. Every entrepreneur hits the ceiling. You've obsessed, sacrificed, done everything that used to work, and it's no longer enough. Now, AI moves faster than instinct. It rewrites the playbook in real time. What you mastered yesterday becomes irrelevant tomorrow. That's the moment that separates survivors from statistics, because the difference between those who plateau and those who endure isn't more time, money, or luck. It's the ability to stretch. The role of stretching. Stretching isn't motivation, it's survival. It's the discipline of pushing past what your current self can handle and building a new version that can. Every weapon before this, playground, chemistry, obsession, resilience, prepared you for this one. But here, the rules change. You're no longer just competing. You're evolving. You're fighting the physics of time, fatigue, and automation. If you don't stretch, what once made you successful becomes what traps you. Your ceiling turns into your coffin. To win in a world where AI compresses cycles, amplifies competition, and exposes every inefficiency, stretch can't be an event. It has to be an identity. The 5 tactics of stretch. Tactic 1, stretch the mind. When rules stop working, make new ones. Tactic 2, stretch the body. Stamina outlasts the chaos of being an entrepreneur. Tactic 3, stretch your skills. New capabilities are a must. Those who stop learning start losing. Tactic 4, stretch the team. When the team rises, the potential of your business sets new ceilings. Tactic 5, stretch time. Bend the 24 hours until they serve you. Stretching is how you evolve from entrepreneur to organism, adapting faster than the world can break you. Framing the weapon, stretch isn't about working harder. It's about redefining what harder even means. It turns pressure into capacity, discomfort into muscle, and exhaustion into evolution. Most people hit the ceiling and stop. Survivors hit the ceiling and learn to breathe there, because in a world reshaped by AI, those who endure aren't the ones who know the most. They're the ones who can stretch the farthest. Every kind of stretch begins in the same place, between your ears. Let's start with the first tactic, stretch the mind. There's always a way. What we feel. We don't have the money. We don't have the people. We don't have the time. Every entrepreneur hits that wall when logic says stop and exhaustion whispers quit. We may lack capital and resources, but what we never lack is the ability to think differently. Because when survival's on the line, creativity becomes currency. And that's why the ones who make it all share the same mantra. There's always a way. The rule of survival, make it up. During the financial crisis, everything collapsed. Clients, markets, banks. If we followed the rules, we were dead. I told my team, if we do what everyone else does, we're done. This isn't a recession, it's a tsunami. And we are sitting on the beach reading the paper. You have to move, now. My instructions were simple. Don't kill anyone. Don't break any laws. Other than that, make it up. Because in chaos, normal doesn't work. In survival mode, creativity isn't an asset, it's oxygen. That became our code. No rules except survival. If we followed the same playbook as everyone else, we'd be another casualty in the pile. The Applebee's miracle. When the crisis hit, my company, Incent One, owed $15 million in rewards and had $1 million in cash. Every spreadsheet said, game over. But survival doesn't live in spreadsheets, it lives in stretch. We'd been buying Applebee's gift cards at 80 cents on the dollar. We went to their corporate group and asked to buy them for 20 or 30 or 40. They said no. So we went local, straight to a New Jersey Applebee's. I walked into a local Applebee's and said, "We would like to buy $50,000 of gift cards." In reality, I had to buy $1 million in the next 60 days. The 18-year-old at the stand said, "That's great. We have a contest where the restaurant that sells the most nationwide can send their whole staff to Hawaii." I asked them how much they needed to sell to win. They said the year before it was $27,000. By the time I was done talking to them, we were not paying 80 or 60 or 40 or 20 cents on the dollar. We were paying 5 cents. What cost us $1 million now costs us $50,000. And we went to every retailer on Route 17 and did the same thing. When we were done, the $15 million cost us $900,000. We had $1 million in cash. That's how you turn $1 million into $15 million. With $100,000 to spare, that wasn't luck. That was stretch, the refusal to accept the ceiling, the belief that there's always a way. Hoboken. There's always a way in action. It was 6 a.m. in Hoboken. I had 30 minutes to catch a flight from Newark after oversleeping. Between me and the airport, a maze of one-way streets and stop signs. If I followed every rule, I'd miss the plane. So I did what entrepreneurs do when time runs out. I found another way. I drove the wrong way down one-way streets because going the wrong way meant I could see every car coming. I could run every stop sign safely. Every block was a calculation. Every turn was a risk. But it worked. I made the flight. That's what stretching the mind looks like in real life. Not reckless, just relentlessly resourceful. When the system's designed to slow you down, you don't freeze. You find a route no one else sees, because there's always a way. The law of stretching the mind. The greatest entrepreneurs don't think differently because they want to. They think differently because they have to. You can't always buy your way out. You can't always hire your way out. But you can think your way out. Stretching the mind isn't blind optimism. It's disciplined defiance. It's the refusal to accept the obvious and the courage to invent under pressure. When the world says no, the entrepreneur's mind whispers, maybe the rules are wrong. When others see limits, you see angles. When others see endings, you see openings. AI will automate the predictable. Your job is to make sure your thinking never is, because the entrepreneur's mind isn't logical, it's elastic. And the more it's stretched, the stronger it gets. In the fight for survival, money runs out, time runs out, people give up. But the entrepreneur's mind never stops searching for the crack in the wall, the opening everyone else missed. In the end, survival doesn't belong to those with the most capital. It belongs to those with the most creativity. You will run out of money. You will run out of time. You will run out of help. But you will never run out of ways. As long as you stretch your mind beyond what logic allows. Here's the survival law. When others see the end, the entrepreneur smiles and says, there's always a way. Tactic 2, stretch the body beyond limits. Stamina outlasts the chaos of being an entrepreneur. What we feel, I'm tired. I can't keep this pace. I just need a break. Every entrepreneur says it, and every one of them is right, until they realize they don't have that luxury. Survival doesn't care how tired you are. When you're leading, building, or saving something that matters, the body becomes your last line of defense. You can't think clearly, sell passionately, or lead effectively if your body quits before your will does. That's why great entrepreneurs don't just stretch their minds, they stretch their bodies. Baseball without gloves. When I was in college, I insisted on doing fielding drills without a glove. Every ground ball stung. Every catch left red marks. But after a few weeks, the pain faded. My reflexes sharpened. My confidence exploded. If you can field without a glove, everything with a glove feels easy. That's what it means to stretch the body. You remove comfort until excellence becomes instinct. You stop chasing strength and start building it, the collapse, and the cold shower. Take a 5-minute cold shower every day, I did, when everything was falling apart, the financial crisis in St. Juan on the edge, sleepless nights wondering if we'd make it. I needed a way to shock myself back into control. Every morning I woke up with a weight on my chest, the kind that steals your breath before the day even begins. If I didn't find a way to command myself, I was going to drown in that feeling. So I turned the knob all the way to cold and stepped in. The first morning I lasted 10 seconds. It felt like knives cutting through my skin. My body screamed to get out. The next day I did it again. 10 seconds became 30, 30 became a minute, then 2, then 5, 5 minutes. Every day. Proof, control, reset. By the time I stepped out, I wasn't shaking. I was calm, clear, centered. If I could survive that every morning, nothing in business could touch me. That's what stretching the body means. You don't train for comfort. You train for control. The long game, 38 years, no excuses. For 38 years, I've worked out every single day. Not most days, every day. I've eaten no carbs for 32 years, and I can still drop into a full split. Put me in a yoga class with 50 women, and I'll be more flexible than 49 of them. That's not normal for a guy, but that's what happens when you stretch your body, literally and figuratively. People call it discipline. It's not discipline. It's design. When you train daily, you remove the option to be weak. You don't decide whether to work out. You decided decades ago. And that's freedom. The entrepreneur's world is chaos. Your body is the one thing you can control. The one thing that has to show up no matter what. The new age of discomfort. The world is just catching up to what entrepreneurs have always known. Discomfort is the new currency. The cold plunge craze isn't about ice. It's about command. David Goggins runs 100-mile races on broken legs to remind himself pain doesn't define him. Wim Hof breathes through frozen lakes because calm beats cold. Serena Williams won a Grand Slam pregnant. Tom Brady trained like 25 at 44. They all prove the same thing. The body doesn't set your limit. Comfort does. The stretch principle. You can't stretch your limits if your body breaks every time the world bends. Your body must become your proof, the physical evidence that your will is stronger than your fatigue. When the clock hits midnight and the deal's not done, your body keeps you awake. When the cash dries up and the team's scared, your body gives you the strength to smile anyway. When the pressure mounts and your chest is tight, your body keeps you calm enough to think. That's the weapon you're building when you stretch the body, a foundation that doesn't flinch. You can teach strategy. You can learn finance. You can hire talent. But you can't fake stamina. You don't stretch the body to show strength. You stretch it to earn it. Every day. Every cold shower. Every workout when no one's watching. Every moment when your body says, stop, and you say go. Because when the world hits hard, you'll already be used to discomfort. You won't panic. You'll breathe. You'll move. You'll stretch. And when everyone else is exhausted, you'll still be standing because you built a body that bends but never breaks. Here's the survival law. Stretch the body, because if you can control your body, you can control your world. Tactic 3, stretch your skills, including some that seem counterintuitive. New capabilities are a must. Those who stop learning start losing. What we feel, I don't know how to do that. That's not my skill set. I'll just hire someone for that. You can't master everything, but you can't afford to be blind. Every entrepreneur hits this wall, the wall built from everything they don't know. And that wall is getting higher every day. Because the skills that once made you successful aren't enough anymore. You have to keep learning, not just the obvious skills, but the ones that surprise you. the ones that make you uncomfortable, the ones you thought you'd never need, but now can't afford to ignore. Yes, that means mastering AI, but also stretching into new abilities that challenge how you think, lead, and build. Stretching your skills isn't about knowing everything. It's about refusing to stay blind to the things that control your future. Master AI. You have to master AI. It's not a gadget. It's the next industrial revolution, and it's happening right now. If you don't learn it, it will outrun you. If you master it, it will multiply you. AI won't replace entrepreneurs, but entrepreneurs who use AI will replace the ones who don't. Stop saying you're not technical. Stop saying you'll hire someone who gets it. You're the entrepreneur. You're supposed to get it. AI can make every system faster, smarter, cheaper, but only if you understand it. You don't need to code. You just need to think with it. Master AI or it will master you. Know enough to know. The difference between a business and a skill. A skill creates value. A business captures it. If you only master your craft, you'll work hard forever and still lose to someone who understands how it makes money. A chef who can cook but doesn't know food costs runs chaos, not a restaurant. A designer who can create but can't price their work owns a hobby, not a studio. A doctor who can heal but can't manage billing or scheduling runs stress, not a practice. You don't need to be the mechanic, but you'd better know what a healthy engine sounds like. If you want to survive, understand the foundations. Goals and metrics. What does success look like? Money. How do margins and cash flow actually work? Strategy. Why would anyone choose you? Process. How do you deliver consistently? People. Who does what and who's accountable? If you don't know these, your business owns you. If you do, you own it. Know what you know and what you don't. Every entrepreneur lives inside four truths. What you know, use it to move fast. What you don't know, admit it quickly and get help. Ignorance isn't weakness, denial is. What you're good at, double down, but don't hide behind it. What you're not good at, understand it well enough to manage it. Self-awareness isn't soft, it's structure. When you know your blind spots, you can fill them. When you don't, they fill you. The goal isn't to know everything. It's to know enough to never be blind in your own business. Ego and humility. Ego builds. Humility scales. You need ego to do something new, especially when the world tells you not to. When I launched a company that rewarded people for being healthy, an industry executive laughed and said, "No one will ever pay people to be healthy." I told him, "With all due respect, you control 1/6 of all dollars in the US, and you've been screwing it up for decades. Why wouldn't we try something new?" That's ego, the belief you can do what others think is impossible. But ego can't run the company forever. Once you've proven you can build, humility is how you grow. It lets you ask for help sooner, hire better, and listen faster. It reminds you your job isn't to have all the answers. It's to find them. Ego builds walls. Humility builds capacity. Replace pride with curiosity. And your learning curve becomes your competitive edge. Process is not a dirty word. Entrepreneurs love chaos, but chaos doesn't scale. Process isn't bureaucracy. It's clarity. It turns chaos into consistency. If you don't stretch your skills to understand systems, your business won't grow. It'll just become a faster version of confusion. Process doesn't kill creativity. It protects it, making brilliance show up every day, not just on the days you feel inspired. From founder to CEO, if your business revolves around you, gravity will eventually give out. When every decision, deal, and direction depends on you, you've built a solar system with one sun. When that sun burns out, everything freezes. You have to build systems, roles, processes, accountability that make the company spin on its own. That's the shift from founder to CEO. The founder creates momentum through force. The CEO sustains it through design. The founder works in the business, the CEO works on it. It's not a change in ambition, it's a change in altitude. Doing it all isn't dedication, it's bad leadership. Entrepreneurs wear exhaustion like armor. They think the more they do, the more dedicated they look. But doing it all isn't dedication, it's bad leadership. If the business only works when you touch everything, you don't have a company, you have a cage. They say things like, I just can't delegate, as if that's noble. It's not. It's a failure of structure. If you constantly have to lean in, it's not heroism. It's proof you don't have the right people or the right process. Diving in doesn't make you a great CEO. It proves you're being a bad one. No one cares as much as you do. Every founder eventually says, no one cares as much as I do. They're right, and it doesn't matter. Your team didn't mortgage their homes for this. They don't wake up at 3 a.m. thinking about payroll. Stop trying to make them care like you. Start building systems that make them perform like you. They can't think like you unless you teach them how. Build the processes, tools, and training that transfer what's in your head into something they can use. You can't scale passion. You can scale process. Leadership begins when you replace emotion with expectation and insight with infrastructure. Everyone sucks until you set them up to succeed. Most people don't fail because they don't care. They fail because you didn't make it easy to win. A team without process is built to disappoint you. Define roles, set metrics, show what excellence looks like. You can't demand accountability if you never designed it. Build structure first, then expect performance. Even great people suck until you build the environment that lets them win. The law of stretching your skills. Stretching your skills doesn't mean mastering everything. It means refusing to be blind in your own business. Know what you know and what you don't. Know what you're good at and what you're not. Then fill the gaps with people and systems instead of ego. Awareness builds leverage. Ego builds limits. You don't need to be the expert in everything, just the one who understands enough to lead everything. Here's the survival law. Stretch your skills, especially the ones that feel counterintuitive. Tactic 4, stretch the team. Demand new ceilings from them. When the team rises, the potential of your business sets new ceilings. What we feel, if I don't push, nothing happens. Why do I have to do everything? No one cares as much as I do. If you're the only one growing, your team becomes your ceiling. Every entrepreneur hits that point when your team's pace lags behind your ambition. Stretching the team isn't about working harder for them. It's about raising their ceiling with clarity, ownership, and systems that make them as relentless as you are. Because if you're the only one growing, your team becomes your ceiling. From fives to sevens, raising the core. Not everyone has the same ceiling. Pretending they do is how growth stalls. Rule to live by. You can stretch a seven into an eight or nine. They already want it. But you can't turn a five into a seven. Don't try. Trying to stretch everyone equally is like putting premium gas in a car with three tires. It doesn't make it go faster. It just makes the ride bumpier. If you spend your energy pulling fives up, you'll burn out. Your job isn't to carry those who can't. It's to build around those who can. Get rid of the fives and find the sevens to invest in. Owners versus doers. Entrepreneurs are tempted to hire doers, people who check boxes, because they're used to doing everything themselves. It feels safer, faster, familiar. But doers can't carry a company. Owners can. A doer waits for direction. An owner drives outcomes. A doer asks, what do you want me to do? An owner asks, what are we trying to accomplish? Doers need clarity. Owners create clarity. A doer executes a task. An owner drives a business goal, and that's what you need. You'll know you've built owners when they stop waiting for your direction and start creating their own. Set values that are non-negotiable. Culture isn't built on slogans, it's built on standards. Strong teams don't just share goals, they share non-negotiable values that govern every stretch. Accountability, own results, not excuses. Teamwork, win together, lose together. Candor, speak truth early, avoid apologies later. Discipline, consistency beats brilliance. When these values are clear and lived, not laminated, they create a culture that polices itself. A team without standards drifts. A team with them accelerates. Set goals that reflect the stretch. Don't set goals that can be reached by working harder. Set goals that force people to think differently. An accounting firm aiming to grow from $10 million to $25 million might say, "There's no way we can do that with our current team." The wrong move is to grind harder. The right move is to think differently. What if we bought another firm? That's what stretch goals do. They shift the conversation from effort to imagination. They make you rethink how you hire, structure, and operate. They demand creativity, not just capacity. Goals show what winning looks like. Values show how to win. Together, they create culture. The law of stretching the team. If your standards rise faster than your team's, you'll outgrow them. If their standards rise with yours, you'll grow together. Stretching the team means raising expectations until they become culture, turning passion into process and accountability into autonomy. When you're the only one carrying the fire, you burn out. When your team carries it with you, you build something sustainable. You can't scale passion. You can only scale performance. Stretch your team until they can carry what used to depend on you. Turn emotion into process, standards into structure, and expectations into execution. Here's the survival law. When your team rises, you rise, and the ceiling moves with you. Tactic 5, stretch time. Bend the 24 hours until they serve you. You don't need a 30-hour day. You need to master the 10 hours that matter. Every entrepreneur is waiting for the next great invention, the 30-hour day. We joke about it, but we secretly believe it. We tell ourselves that if we just had a few more hours, we could finally catch up, finish the work, answer the emails, solve the problems, sleep. But even if you got those extra 6 hours, you'd fill them with the same noise you already have. Time doesn't stretch for you. You have to stretch for it. 100 hours of work and 10 hours of time. Every entrepreneur has 100 hours of work and 10 hours of real time. That's the math of the job. You'll never get to everything and you're not supposed to. You don't get more hours, you get better use of them. One. Set strategic priorities. You can't chase every opportunity. You have to decide what truly matters to the business. The three big objectives that move it forward. I know you think you can't prioritize, that you have to do everything, but that's not leadership. That's a race to the bottom. Most entrepreneurs confuse activity with progress. They fill their days with motion instead of momentum. Pick three strategic priorities for the next 90 days. The ones that define success. If you focus your team on those, you'll make real progress. If you chase everything, you'll just make noise. Two, manage the 10 hours, do the three, not the 97. Every entrepreneur wakes up to 100 demands, 100 fires, 100 distractions, but only a few of them actually move the business forward. If you try to do 100 things, you'll finish none. If you pick the three that truly matter and crush those, you'll move forward. And the rest won't matter nearly as much as you think. Each morning, ask, if I could only accomplish three things today, which would truly move the business? Because if you don't get to those three, you certainly won't get to the other 97. And if you spend your day chasing the 100, you'll burn out and stay stuck. Three, do the hardest thing. First, start your day by conquering resistance. Do the hardest, most important thing first, not after meetings, not after email. If you win the morning, you win the day. Comfort doesn't create momentum. Courage does. 4, build process. Even for yourself. Process isn't bureaucracy, it's design. Have a system for planning your week, starting your morning, and shutting down your day. Block time for deep work, batch tasks, review and reset daily. Structure doesn't kill creativity, it protects it. 5, use AI as a force multiplier. If a task can be learned, it can be automated. From research to writing to analysis, AI can turn hours into minutes. Let AI draft what you edit. Let AI research what you refine. Let AI organize what you decide. You bring the judgment. AI brings the speed. If you're still doing manually what a machine can do in seconds, you're not showing grit. You're wasting greatness. Stretch your time by stretching your tools. 6, shut off the noise. You can't stretch time if you let the world interrupt you every 5 minutes. Your phone, your inbox, your notifications, they don't just steal attention, they steal momentum. Every ping costs you re-entry time. Every distraction breaks your rhythm. Turn off notifications, close your email, put your phone across the room. Multitasking isn't mastery, I mean, it's a tax on focus. The law of stretching time. You can't make more time, but you can decide what your time makes. The entrepreneur's job isn't to chase hours, it's to design leverage. Stretching time isn't about speed, it's about intention. It's how you make sure your 10 hours go to momentum, not motion. When you pick the right priorities, do the 3 instead of the 100, build process, use technology, and protect your focus. You turn 10 hours into 100 hours of impact. That's the real math of time. You don't stretch time by doing more. You stretch it by designing it to serve you. There will never be enough hours, but there will always be enough clarity. Stretch time because the clock isn't your enemy. It's your advantage. Stretch your limits, the final truth. You don't get to stay who you are, not anymore. The world is changing faster than any of us can keep up. AI, automation, speed, expectations, everything is accelerating. If you don't stretch, you snap. You can't outwork the machines. You can't outpace the noise. You can only outgrow your limits. Stretching isn't optional, it's survival. Because the moment you stop stretching, you start shrinking. And in this world, shrinking doesn't mean standing still, it means disappearing. The next generation of entrepreneurs won't win because they're smarter. They'll win because they're more adaptable. They'll bend. They'll break patterns. They'll evolve faster than the world can pressure them. That's the new game. And it's not fair, as it's true. You don't stretch because it's inspiring. You stretch because it's the only way to stay alive in business and sane in life. The entrepreneur who refuses to stretch becomes the entrepreneur who gets replaced by someone faster, someone fresher, or someone who simply kept learning. Stretch your mind until it finds new ideas. Stretch your body until it finds new energy. Stretch your skills until nothing intimidates you. Stretch your team until they outgrow you. Stretch your time until every minute bends to your will. Because the world isn't slowing down. And survival now belongs to those who do what others won't and become what others can't. Here's the survival law. If you don't stretch, you don't survive. If you do, you don't just survive, you create what's next.